May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. And I have promised to be always near. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger, and I have promised to be your. always me. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. "Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Is stronger, and I have promised to be always near." From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice, and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." The Gospel of Christ.
I've been meditating on the word passion. Well, maybe not exactly meditating. I think I said that just to sound pious. I probably should be meditating more than I am, or maybe I could be meditating more than I am. I've been preferring activities that provide more of a distraction than meditating does lately. So maybe I've been wondering about the word passion, though my sense of wonder feels a bit caged right now, like it's a wild stallion that wants to run and run, but there's a thunderstorm and I don't want to set it free for fear that it will be zapped out of existence. So I suppose the truth is that I just typed the word passion into my computer and then stared at it for a few days in an unmeditative, non-wondering sort of way. I have found myself staring a lot in these last couple of weeks. Passion is usually a word I really like to use, like, I have a growing passion for cooking. Doesn't that sound great? A growing passion for cooking? Like, don't you wish you had a growing passion for cooking? Maybe you do. I have a few other passions too, like singing. That's a passion of mine. Musical theater, I'm very passionate about that. Preaching, I have a passion for preaching. These are all things that I love, these things I have passion for. These are things I would do all the time every day if I could. I mean, I often do the things that I'm passionate about unconsciously, like I hum to myself all the time. Sometimes I do a little dance move whenever I hear a passionate song. Sometimes I spontaneously start to exegete the scriptures. I mean, maybe that last one's not true. Though I do often try to find God in the world around me. And maybe that's the same thing. So I always come up a bit shocked when I remember the official name of this day in the church calendar. It's not Palm Sunday. That might be a traditional name. But according to the Book of Alternative Services, this is the Sunday of the Passion. And we are not talking about singing or preaching or musical theater or hockey or chocolate or cooking or astronomy. We're talking about the crucifixion. I think most of us would be hard-pressed to say that this is a day for which we have passion. And I hardly want to consider how Jesus felt about this day. That might be more than my unmeditative, non-wondering heart can bear right now. The other meaning of the word passion, of course, is this. It means to suffer. We are today remembering Jesus' suffering. But it might be too hard to remember suffering right now. It might be too hard to remember people dying alone in Spanish nursing homes. It might be too hard to remember people dying in the hot and humid streets of Ecuador, where neighbors have to stack bodies on the curb. It might be too hard to remember how New York City, one of the most vibrant and creative places in the world, is closed down in order to make room for all the suffering. I'm sorry to have brought it up. I don't want to remember any of that. I don't want to remember any of this that's happening right now. I want to watch Frozen 2 on Disney Plus. I want to try another recipe with ham. I want to go and kick the soccer ball around with Logan. I cannot handle feeling passion right now, Jesus or anyone else's. I want to focus on my quiet little life. I want to preserve my quiet little life. The trouble right now is that as soon as I start to meditate or wonder or do any kind of thinking at all, I come to the stark and frightening realization that there is no such thing as my life. There is only our life. All of humanity has but one life that we all share. I think I always knew that intellectually, but I don't think I've ever felt it with my whole body the way I am feeling it now. We are all suffering together. We are all in the throes of passion right now, one body, whether we like it or not. The idea of suffering makes me feel so uncomfortable. I looked up that word too because I don't want suffering to be the place where I leave the meaning of passion. It comes from a Latin word, suffering, I mean, that means to bear or to carry or to lift up. In the way that Jesus was lifted up on the cross, I suppose, but also in the way that we lift people up in prayer. Holy Week 2020 is about the passion of the whole world. It's about how my quiet little life is subsumed in the universal life, or dare I say, the eternal life. It's about holding up or bearing or carrying the whole world. May God give us strength and courage. And now I'd like to indulge one of my passions and sing you a song.
On the willows there, we hung up our lives for our captors there required. Required of us songs and God.